There was a time when I was so brokenhearted. Love wasn't much of a friend of mine, but you know who are my friends, my good buddies here on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Borsett, joined as always by the grumpy, the lovable John Mariano. How are you tonight, John?
Are we here again for this?
Yep. We're doing another one. Why not? But we're not doing it alone, John. We have a permanent co-host coming on the show. Everybody, you know him. You love him. He's a podcaster. He's an author. He's an amateur magician. On the weekends, he's working with Ka on Cirque du Soleil on the Las Vegas Strip and performing his one-man show, Will There Ever Be a Rainbow? He's the legend, Scott Haskins. Scott, welcome permanently to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm really excited to be a part of the show. You know, it was fun because last time we were just talking about it and thought, yeah, that'd be neat if we worked it out. And then, an hour later, you said, hey, let's just do it. And I'm all in.
That's how easy it was, yeah. Anybody else want to be a co-host, just shoot us a line. We'll put you on the show, too. Why not?
My favorite thing that we have, Scott, now is I feel so familiar with working with him. And he's gone.
And he just left.
He was here a minute ago, and now he's gone. We were just doing a nice intro for him.
Now we can talk shit about him. What a fucker. His first show, and he leaves the Zoom call.
Look, you've had me listen to a bunch of Scott's work, and Scott's kicking ass and taking names. And I'll just take this moment to vamp on Scott a little, because I feel, I know we're just starting out with him, but he was here last week. And we were talking to him a little bit before the show. I feel like we work with Scott all the time at this point. Like, it just feels that way. You know, it's like an old friend.
It feels like we've been doing this show with him for like 7 weeks now, doesn't it?
I know about. I don't do math.
Math is hard. Oh, I think he's rejoining the Zoom call. We can't talk shit about him anymore. Right when we're introing you, you fucking take off. So we talk shit about you. And now you're back.
How am I going to learn about myself if I don't hear these little bits?
We were just saying that it seems like we've been working with you forever. Almost like we've been doing shows with you for the last 7 weeks.
It does feel like that. And I've enjoyed all of them that we haven't done yet.
That's right. you guys remember last week, Scott was on the show. We begged him to come on and lend some credibility to this train wreck that we call Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, and he gladly accepted. So, geez, are you a glutton for punishment, Scott? Why do you hate yourself?
How can I say no to these cute little faces?
Well, you know what? We've done a little bit of vamping about you, Scott, but being that you're joining the crew, why don't you give the listeners, I hate calling them fans, because I think people like hate listen to us. I don't think that people like enjoy it. So, and you give them some idea about like why you'd want to join us, and a little bit about like your work you do outside of like this nonsense you deal with us.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, whenever I've been a guest with you guys or with Corey on and the podcast Will Rock, like I have such a great time hanging out with you guys. I do my own shows, and it's really different doing them by yourself. You know, you have to cover everything. It's nice to have a little bit of back and forth with some people and really get into some good discussions. So that's one of the reasons. And plus, you know, I want to learn a lot more about Aerosmith. They're not a band I know in and out like I do others. And I think it's going to be a great time for all of us.
The one thing that excited me was that John and I, you know, John just provides the eye candy for a podcast. Whereas I'm a general fan of the band, but you kind of provide that musical expertise that I think this show is missing, and that you could talk about musically kind of what's happening with the band, because these are five pretty talented fellas here in Aerosmith.
Oh, for sure. And I think that you two need a little bit of a buffer between you sometimes to just kind of you know, keep things a little calm.
John is confrontational. I don't know if you know that, Scott, but
not with me.
Not at all. Like, first of all, I'm still trying to wrap my head around Scott. You're what I like to think of as a successful podcaster, right? Like, why are you slumming it with us? Like, what is going on here?
It's going to be fun. You know what? Well, I mean, both of the shows that I do, the Haskincast podcast and Uriah Heep, the Magician's podcast, I do by myself. I have the occasional co-host on, but it's pretty much just me yammering about whatever, doing an album review or, you know, when I get to do interviews. But apart from that, it's just me. So I'm really looking forward to having some other voices to interact with and have some thoughts that aren't just mine.
I hear what you're saying. Right. But Optimus Prime likes to go hang out with the other Autobots or like other Transformers. And basically, you're coming to hang out with the GoBots.
I think you're selling yourself short. This is a great show. I mean, I've loved this show since episode one.
I mean,
yeah, I agree with John. GoBots is a good analogy.
We've done at least three of these at this point, right, Gory? I lost count.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what number we're on. I think this is 41, actually.
But GoBots are people, too.
Ish.
they may not be a bumblebee, but they're up there.
I don't even remember. I remember I had a GoBot. I couldn't tell you who the fuck it was, though. Like, I don't remember any of their names.
One of them was Ace, and Ace was an airplane.
Well, that's clever. Never would have expected that.
And then Megatron, I think, was called Chopper or something. He was a motorcycle.
Okay. I watched Mask. I didn't watch or get into the GoBots too much.
Mask was tremendous.
Mask is awesome. Love still waiting Mask. For my car. A movie.
I'm waiting for my car to grow wings so I could fly.
I'm waiting for my motorcycle to get a little helicopter propeller on it so I could. I that's
also
the one I
fly.
Have.
So I can also exactly. fly.
Yeah, copycat. So I can also fly. I am. I'm not the gift out of copycat.
Scott, if you had a vehicle that could transform into another vehicle, which two would you want?
I would probably want like a really slicked out van that could transform into like a giant hummingbird because they can fly in any direction. They have like the ability to just fly and stop at will. Off the top of my head, that's what I'd go with.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Welcome to the show.
I mean, the way Scott was starting that, I have a really slicked out van that transforms into a smaller, less tricked out van.
I thought, oh, he might go like submarine. He might go in like battle tank, something cool. Fucking hummingbird.
I didn't think about water. Well, I was just thinking about the ability to get places really quickly and stop on a dime. And you know, there's nothing that flies like a hummingbird.
Is that possible to get from one place to another really quickly? I don't think so.
Not with our stoplights, no.
Have you ever seen George of the Jungle?
I don't think I have.
Oh, if they had vines going from building to building, you could get there really fast.
Well, I've played Jungle Hunt, if that counts.
Oh, that was a great game.
That was.
It was like better Pitfall.
It was boring though after like three rounds. Then you're like, all right, vines again, okay, rocks again, okay, water again, okay, racist headhunters again.
I mean, that was every game back then.
All right, you can catch more on John and Scott's 80s podcast, 80s video game podcast.
Look,
Podman coming up soon, I'm sure.
I'm trying to warm the three people listening right now up to the idea that there's now three of us and that the numbers are now even again. And you have to go find yourself a fourth listener so that way you guys can outnumber us because right now we just evened up this battle.
I don't know if that's possible. A fourth listener? That sounds like too many. Like I'm shocked we're at three.
In fairness, we probably had three and Scott was one of them and now he's on our team. And now it's a 3-2 ratio of listeners, two listeners to three people on the podcast. So if the other two of you want to join us, by all means, just write in.
Okay. I'll stop listening to the show just to balance out that number so that we can stay in power.
Oh, you know, you're not allowed to listen to the show if you're on the show. That's one of the rules we have here.
But I got to say, and we had more at one point. They probably all dropped off, but I'm looking at our charts on this show. We charted in Great Britain, France, Norway, Argentina, and Ecuador.
Nice.
Not the United States or Canada, however, but...
Yet.
There's still time.
I tend to chart in countries I've never heard of before.
Well, Scott, are you familiar with how we do the show?
I am very familiar. I've listened to every episode.
So we have a die. And I picked two songs, or I picked three songs. Corey picks three songs. But that math doesn't work now.
No.
So what we should do is probably go 2-2-2.
Well, and we've done that before the show here tonight on the Zoom call. We gave Scott our current choices on the dice, which are Sheila, The Farm, Kings and Queens Live from Classics Live 1, Pink, Fever, and Lord of the Thighs from Live Bootleg. And so we took two off of Scott's die that we had last week when we did What It Takes, and replaced two of ours. So Scott has taken off The Farm. Very wise choice. That's a John pick, and it's terrible. And he also took off Fever, which is not such a great pick because that's a Corey song, and it's actually really, really good. But those two songs are now off the die, and in its place, he's put You See Me Crying from Toys in the Attic and I'm Down, the Beatles cover from Permanent Vacation. So, Scott, maybe tell us why you took off one great song and one terrible song off the dice, and why you replaced them with a Toys in the Attic cut and one from Permanent Vacation.
Well, I'm very symmetrical. If I'm going to take off something that's really bad, I got to take off something that's really good. I like that balance. These are two songs that I've just absolutely loved. I mean, I'm Down is just such great energy. And I'm not usually a fan of covers, but I actually like the Aerosmith version better than the Beatles song. And You See Me Crying, God, that's just such a great performance from Steven Tyler. Beautiful piano. You got a little bit of woodwinds in there. It's just a really gorgeous song. And definitely looking forward to getting to really everything that we're going to cover. But definitely those are two of my top songs.
Look, I would have picked two of Corey's songs and taken them off. But, I mean, that's me. I have taste. But, you do you, Scott.
And I usually do.
Chat amongst yourselves for a second here. I got to double check something here.
Now, see what happens. Now we have to vamp. Corey, so just to explain what's going on here. Earlier tonight, Corey called me out for not reading his notes about what we did before the show. Right? So now here we are, and now we're in the show, and Corey is getting caught up, probably writing more notes for me to not read later. This is what we do, Scott.
Well, speaking of reading notes, what I could do is I could let our listeners know about the Deep Dive Podcast Network that our show and my show, Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, is part of. And I realized the error that I've been making as we do this, because I don't have my own show listed on my list because it's my show. So I didn't put it on the list.
I made that mistake. I use your website on the Van Halen show. When I'm reading the list, and I realized I'm not saying the Magician's Podcast because it's not on that list.
It will be. That will get fixed immediately. But yeah, I'm just looking at the list right now, and I realize that I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of dumb. But you know who's not dumb is Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. We have Skinnerd Reconsidered. We have T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Sabbath Bloody Podcast, In the Lap of the Pods, Hawk Binge, Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Madmen, Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. We have Judas Priest Cast, and the podcast Will Rock featuring one Corey Morissette. We have Backtracks Theme Music featuring John Mariano and Corey Morissette. You guys really dominate this list, I swear to God. We have North by South Podcast, So Far, So Pod, So What, the Tom Petty Project, and Volume for All, and last but not least, the Rock Roulette Podcast. God, this list gets any longer, and I'm going to pass out by the time I get to the end of it.
Oh, but I realized my mistake, and I mentioned that Lord of the Thighs was one of the songs on Dice. It's not, actually. That's kind of in the hopper. The song we have on there currently is Hangman Jury from Permanent Vacation. So we have two tracks from Permanent Vacation eligible for tonight. So I'll just go through those again. Sheila from Done With Mirrors, You See Me Crying, Kings and Queens, Pink, I'm Down, and Hangman Jury. Both from Permanent Vacation. So, John Mariano, out of those six, what are you hoping to roll here tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I guess one of the Scots. He's the newbie.
All right. So that's You See Me Crying or I'm Down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you. That's a mighty nice welcome.
How about you, sir? What are you hoping to hear?
It's really because I keep score, and I just want to get you on the scoreboard so I could say I'm beating you. It's really not fair to say that you have a fair shake, Scott.
Well, okay. I get your logic behind that, and I'll go with it. Since you mentioned Hangman Jury, I'm going to go with that. I'd love to hear that tonight.
Oh, that would be a good one. But I'm kind of with John. I'd like to roll one of yours tonight. You See Me Crying is one of my favorites from Toys in the Attic. I remember, what, 2018, 2019, they kind of threw it back in the set. And it was a big moment for Aerosmith fans. Like, oh, they're breaking out this old great deep cut from Toys in the Attic. And so that's what I'm kind of hoping we roll here tonight. So we got one vote, You See Me Crying, one vote, Hangman Jury, and one vote, just whatever Scott wants. Because John's a pleaser.
Is there a live version, like a recorded version of You See Me Crying that we'll get to at some point?
A live one? I don't think there is, actually. I'll have to double check the discography, but unless it was on something like, again, talk amongst yourselves. I'll try and look that up here.
It could be. I didn't mention that there is a website now for our podcast. If you go to my website, scotthaskin.com, you could click on the Aerosmith podcast link. You can get direct links to all of those podcasts that I mentioned earlier and links to our Twitters. And also a player that Corey was kind enough to provide me where you can listen to the most recent episode.
I was trying to tell you, Scott, like, you didn't have to put this on your website to get on the show. We were going to put you on the show either way.
You told me I had to.
No, I told you I was trying to get Corey off the show and I'm trying to bring you on. But you didn't want to do all the work. And then we had to keep Corey. You still here, Corey?
What? We were trying to, I didn't hear that.
You guys asked me why I want to be on the podcast. It's for the love.
And it's the love of Aerosmith. What do you say, John? Let's roll this dice and see what we come up with. Unless you got something else you want to say.
I got nothing. I want to get to the song.
All right. Here we go. Let's roll the dice. And we're going to come up with Hangman Jury. Scott Haskin calls a shot and gets Hangman Jury his first time out. This is a great song. It was a single off of Permanent Vacation. So this is not eligible for our mixtape, but it will be going on the Ultimate Aerosmith Top 10 list. And since we're only at like 9 songs, it's got a guaranteed shot there. John, 1987, you were still listening to music at this time. What were your thoughts on Permanent Vacation and Hangman Jury?
I mean, Permanent Vacation is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I listened to this cassette, so that's what I had back then. I listened to this cassette nonstop. I wore it out. I love this track. Spoiler alert, I love this track. But I think, can we stop for a minute? Because Scott called his shot, right? He's one in, and he just Tom Berenger that from Major League. Like he pointed to, and then he dropped down the bunt and ran to first. And look, he's one for one right now.
I'm mentally connected to the dice.
Well played, son. Well played.
Well played. Scott, you wanted to hear this song tonight. Why is that?
You know, it's just when you mentioned it, it just hit me like I'm hearing the harmonica. I'm hearing that, you know, just the gentle sound of the train tracks. And you know, I've always imagined them just kind of sitting out in a farmhouse, you know, on the porch of a farmhouse or something out in the country with weeds overgrown and just having beers and grilling and just sitting back telling stories to each other. And as soon as you said that, I just wanted to be at that house.
Hey, it's one of those songs where Steven Tyler's not singing about, you know, screwing or, you know, the rock and roll lifestyle. He's talking about, you know, the murder of a wife at the hands of her husband, like a little darker tone and, you know, kind of takes on an old blues feel, like an old Lead Belly song or something. But to me, a real standout from Permanent Vacation. And I was just doing some reading. Joe Perry said that the praise for this song was his biggest surprise from the Permanent Vacation album. You know, couldn't believe that, you know, this kind of, you know, became as popular as it did actually on the mainstream rock songs back in 87, it hit number 14. Wow. So a pretty decent showing. Remember, Aerosmith were kind of coming off the Run DMC thing, but they still weren't, you know, at their apex of popularity in the 80s here. That wouldn't come until, you know, Pump and Get a Grip. So the fact that this song did that well, really the first kind of thing released from Permanent Vacation, Dude Looks Like a Lady, was an official single after this. This was a promotional single beforehand. So the fact that this kind of hit, you know, even surprised the band.
Well, it's not, you know, a normal rock and roller or something that you would think that they would have released. This would, you would think would be maybe a B-side on a 45 if they were still releasing 45s or when they were doing single cassettes. I wouldn't have thought that this would be a song to release, but definitely a really enjoyable album track.
Mm-hmm. written by Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Jim Valance, a Canadian boy. Worked with Joe, with Brian Adams quite a bit. Of course, this album produced by Bruce Fairbairn, another Canadian lad. What do you say? I'm kind of chomping at the bit to hear this one here. Let's spin a little Hangman Jury from 1987's Permanent Vacation.
On the opening, I gotta say, I love the atmosphere of the song. Like, I feel like we're sitting on an old school wooden porch with some rocking chairs and everybody with their makeshift instruments, and they're just jamming around. And like, it feels like that type of setting for a rock band. I think that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, I would agree. The only thing that we're missing is somebody playing like a jug.
It sounds like one of those like a. I think Joe Perry said that he got this lick on an old funky silver tone guitar. Scott, what did you think about that initial kind of guitar sound that came out?
I absolutely love it. I mean, it sounds really deep and rich, and it's not, it doesn't feel like it's like washed in reverb, but the sound feels really big. It reminded me of like a Bon Jovi song. I can't think of which one it was. It was one of the ones from Young Guns too. But it just had that, you know, Western feel to it. I want to say it sounds like a dobro, but I could be wrong. Either way, I love that. And then there's just like a hint of steel guitar in there, a really nice blend. But I was going to make some really cheap joke about, you know, you go to play an Aerosmith song and all I hear is crickets, but I won't make that joke. I would have made that joke, but I didn't.
Well, I almost get this vibe. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie The Jerk.
I love The Jerk.
At the beginning of the movie, he's playing with his family. I think at the end, too. I think it bookends. He's playing with his family on the porch.
Yep.
It feels a little bit like that. And it also feels a little bit like Emmer Otter's Jug Band Christmas, right? With the washboard and the way they're jamming out and that, too. And that's pretty crazy for, you know, like, this is Aerosmith's big comeback album. Like, we know that now. But the fact that this song exists on this album, I think, is nuts and incredible at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually saw The Jerk in the theater when it first came out.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm that old.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know what that means? You're old.
What'd you say, Sonny?
I don't know about you, John, but I'm kind of almost getting a Led Zeppelin vibe from this, too, right? With the harmonica and the guitar, just the way it came in.
I think that's a great call. I think that's a. You don't compare these bands enough, and probably because you look at Joe Perry versus, you know, Joe Perry and Tom Hamilton against Jimmy Page, and it's not fair. You know, and it's not no slight on the other two men, but Jimmy Page is one of these very few next level guitarists that has graced our eardrums. I don't know that Steven Tyler and Robert Plant are as far apart as people would assume. We could have been doing a Zeppelin podcast because I could talk about them all day, but I would say their instruments aren't nearly as far apart as you would assume based on the bands that they're in.
Sitting in the shade, talking about the money that I ain't made. Singing, whoa, boy, don't you lounge track. Like a whoa, boy, don't you lounge track. Whoa, boy, don't you lounge track. Like a whoa, boy, don't you lounge track.
Here's where we can talk about Steven Tyler being an amazing blues vocalist, right? Like, love his vocal style on this, and even just a little oh boy, don't you lie on the track, I like it. A little lack of lack he puts on the end, right, that just kind of ties the whole thing together. Steven Tyler, chef's kiss on this song. Fantastic work.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think this is one of the vocal performances from him that's one of my favorites. I mean, I wouldn't have said, hey, you should sing more blues. But whenever I hear him do it, it's like, wow, you should sing more blues. You know, he's got such a great deep voice, especially because you don't have a lot of music filling in behind him right now. So that low voice is really thickening up the sound. It's going to get that part of it's going to get buried here in a minute when the rest of the band kicks in. But he can really fill in a section by himself very, very well. And this is a great example of it.
You know, and John, you watched the Unplugged performance by Aerosmith way back at the time, right? And they do a killer version of Hangman's Jury on that special, if I remember correctly.
I actually feel like that was my favorite track off of that special. Mm-hmm. It really sets the tone and the mood and really fits that setting really well. Because it's a very intimate setting, and this is a very intimate song they're doing that really lends itself to smaller venues.
Yeah, and that's a performance that's mainly Joe and Steven. The other band members are there, obviously, but it's really just Joe on the guitar, Steven on the harmonica, and those vocals that really carry Hangman's Jury on that Unplugged. Go search it out. I'm sure it must be on YouTube somewhere, but fantastic version of this song.
Yeah, but when he's singing, because they double-tracked it, so you've got the harmonica playing behind him here, but when they did it Unplugged, that would be a completely different feel because you're losing out on the harmonica completely.
Yeah, and everybody's unplugged, so you don't kind of get that big push we're going to get, after that first verse, right, that we're going to get on the recorded version here.
Right.
If I could, I surely would. Stand on the rock that Moses stood, singing, whoa, boy, don't you lie on the track. Like a whoa, boy, don't you lie on the track. Whoa, boy, don't you lie on the track. Like a whoa, boy, don't you lie on the track. Drank so much hoochie, man, my eyes were getting blurry. They say I nailed it to the wall. A stitch in time don't mean a thing, no thing that you
You know, I said when the rest of the band kicks in, we would lose that, you know, some of the depth of Steven Tyler's voice. But what compensates for it is that bass guitar coming in nice and thick and heavy. It's just a slight bit too much tambourine for me. I could use that dialed down and kind of mixed in a little bit better. But the rest of it, when the band kicks in, it's not like a heavy rock riff or anything, but it is powerful.
It really is. I could almost use a little more kick drum, the kind of the kick drum we got on Ragdoll. If we would have had that kind of power, that punch on this and less tambourine, I agree with you totally on that one. It would have been great. But lyrically, this is so fucking cool. And it just fits in Steven's wheelhouse, right? Like, drank so much hoochie, it made my eyes be getting blurry. That's such a great line. They say I nailed her to the wall. A stitch in time don't mean a thing. No Hangman's Jury. Like, fantastic lyrics. This Steven's really... this to me is really one of the real standouts from Permanent Vacation. Like John said, one of his favorites from 87, one of mine too. We got quite a few songs on the mixtape and on the top 10 list from Permanent Vacation. And to me, this is maybe my favorite track off of it.
I mean, I just want to go back to what Scott said for a minute. Like I agree with everything Corey just said, especially with this being a top track off of a killer album. But to take offense to the tambourine, right? Susan Day takes offense to you, Scott. Susan Day of Partridge Family fame, who famously played the tambourine on the Partridge Family. Like, you need more. You're going to hear that tambourine in there, Scott. You're going to want more tambourine. I got a fever.
Susan Day's not listening to us anymore. Thanks, Scott.
I will send her an apology cookie.
Just pointing these small things out to you, Scott. That's what I'm here for.
I do. I use a tambourine a lot in my own music, and I really like it. But there's something about the frequency that can really cut through, and it can almost be slightly ear-piercing sometimes. So, if they EQ'd it a little bit differently, the volume might not be bad. But I think if the tambourine is louder than the snare, it's not properly balanced. For me, anyway.
Well said. Now, we're coming up to... I almost want to call it a bridge. It doesn't lead into a chorus, though. Would you call it a bridge? But it's definitely different than what the verses are. But it's one of my favorite parts of the song here.
I think it's a bridge to a song that doesn't really have a chorus.
Oh, there you go.
Well, first, that shaker kind of almost gives you the ragdoll feel to it, to the beat, mm-hmm. you know. But I love that the intro into that part, Steven's voice is so strong and smooth. That could just carry me anywhere. And I'd be like, I don't even care where we're going. I just want to ride that wave.
This is one of my favorite Steven Tyler vocal performances of all time. It's so like, I know it's kind of spooky, but it's powerful at the same time. And the lyrics are just spot on. What you do when the gun that's loaded shot her dead and her heart exploded. Tell me, baby, now don't you worry, like lying to a hangman jury. That's good shit.
And then add that bass guitar on there. Oh, man, this is candy for the ears.
I think this is a song, like, I know it's early yet, but like, we got to consider this as a mainstay on whatever list it ends up on, because if it's this quintessential a Steven Tyler song, I don't see how it doesn't make one of the sides of this tape.
I think yeah. we'd all have to fight each other to get rid of it. So I kind of don't see it leaving anytime soon. We've already put it on the tape. We're not even halfway through the song yet.
It's already on the Ultimate Aerosmith Top 10. But and my favorite line is coming up next. I swear I didn't know that 45 was loaded. So. Mm-hmm. I swear I didn't know that 45 was loaded. In fact, my memory ain't too clear. That's not to say she didn't get what she deserved. At least that's the way it looked from here. God, that's so great. I swear I didn't know that 45 was loaded. In fact, my memory ain't too clear. That's not to say she didn't get what she deserved. At least that's the way it looks from here.
I love it. And it's the way that he delivers it, too. You kind of feel like he's from the South, maybe. Like he's delivering it with a dialect that's not the way he would normally speak. And I think that adds a little more to that, you know, sitting on the porch, you know, with the grass growing high, everybody's just grabbing whatever's around them and making sound with it kind of feel.
Feels like it was done in one take sometimes, like him going, let's get out of here, directing where they're gonna go. It feels so jazzy and like in the moment, like it almost feels like a one take song, like from what we're listening. How do you guys feel?
It feels like they recorded it live together, you know, like they didn't multi-track. I mean, if I didn't know, the harmonica had to have been double tracked because it's under Steven's voice. It really feels like they literally just went in and sat down and recorded this song and then went home.
I just saw my favorite review ever of this song. All music critic John Frank described it as an excellent hobo harmonica fable.
Wow. I like that.
Works for me. Now, John, you love a good harmonica solo. We didn't really get a guitar solo. It was more of a harmonica solo, but that was pretty kick-ass.
I love any offbeat instrument that you're going to give me and give me a solo. Like, if you give me the harmonica solo here, if it was an accordion solo on the Weird Al album, even if it were a tambourine solo, I'd be all into it.
And I love what's going on in the background too. What the bass is playing. There's a little bit of slide play on the neck, and then you've got just that great rhythm guitar that's just keeping things interesting without being dynamic. This is just a masterpiece of a song for me.
Imagine having Joe Perry and Brad Whitford in your band and saying, "Just play a little rhythm underneath. I'm going to bust out a harmonica solo on this," and have it work that well, right?
So the song is clearly about like when love ends, right?
Well, it ends with murder, yeah.
No, I'm saying like even the way like Steven's saying about it, it's like when love comes tumbling down, it's so upbeat and happy, right? And like the lyrics are like this is a dark song.
He's literally pleading his case to not get hung, like after murdering his wife. Yeah, it's a little dark, but lyrically, I think it's fantastic. And I really kind of get a Led Zeppelin vibe from this. Like I could see like Jimmy Page and Robert Plant kind of busting this out, and Joe Perry is no Jimmy Page, but like you said, Steven Tyler and Robert Plant, a lot closer than you maybe think.
If I could, I surely would stand on the rock that Moses done stood, singing, "Yeah, boy, don't you lie on the track. Yeah, boy, don't you lie on the track. Yeah, boy, don't you lie on the track. Yeah, boy, don't you lie on the
All right, that's Hangman Jury kicking off side two of 1987's Permanent Vacation, an album I don't think that gets enough credit or enough love. There's a lot of great tracks on this. I know the two guys on the panel with me here agree. Scott, your final thoughts on Hangman Jury?
Masterpiece. I love the way that the instruments were dropping out at the end, to kind of transition. I also love all the backing vocals and the harmonies in there that we didn't talk about. There's so much going on in layers and vocals that it really adds so much depth to the song and warmth to it too. Just a masterpiece. Like I said, I could not ask for a better song from these guys.
I don't think that we could have asked for a better song for Scott's first episode with us, right? Like, it's a very underrated track in the Aerosmith library. Like, certainly there were more well-regarded songs, that we're going to get to on the list. But this absolutely belongs on every greatest hits album that they put out.
And it's not there. And they put out a lot of greatest hits. I agree with you, John. So it's automatically going. I think we're all in agreement. We're going to put it on our Ultimate Aerosmith Top 10 to round out the 10 songs we currently have on there. Is that correct in assuming that?
I'm saying yes.
No, I'm going to say no just to be difficult.
All right. Well, it's 2-1. You're outvoted. This is nice. We have a majority vote here. So let's recap the current songs on the Ultimate Aerosmith Top 10 list. We have Let the Music Do the Talking, Chip Away the Stone, The Other Side, Janie's Got a Gun, Crazy, Eat the Rich, Mamakin, Shut Up and Dance, Helter Skelter, and Hangman Jury. So the next time we roll a single, it'll have to take one of those off. And that's a pretty strong list. There's a couple tracks I could see. Obviously, we're gonna go to do some swapping, but I'm gonna fight like hell for songs like Chip Away and Let the Music Do the Talking. John's already threatening to take those off on me.
So have taste, Corey.
Ouch.
Well, we'll Ouch. See. They're all Aerosmith.
All right. So because Hangman Jury is off the dice now, you know what? I alluded to it earlier in the show. Lord of the Thighs, live bootleg. That's kind of the next one in the hopper. If you guys are cool with that, we're going to put that on the dice.
Nice.
And it's kind of interesting because Lord of the Thighs, the album version, was the very first song we ever covered on this show, John. Remember that way back when, episode 2?
I mean, I remember we covered it. I couldn't tell you when, dude. They're all blurring together me right now. Like, I almost feel like we've done this one twice at this point.
Hangman Jury? It kind of feels that way, doesn't it? But I think this one is the keeper. This was a great episode. Scott, let's put a bow on this one. Maybe let's let the folks know where they can find you. You're a very, very busy fella. I know you're a writer. You're a podcaster. Fill us all in.
Yeah, well, I do have a couple of different book series coming out. Well, one's done. The What Happened in Vegas series is done. That's on Amazon. My book, Becoming an Indie Film Composer, is on Amazon and Audible. And then my new book series, The Universal Court, the first one's out. The next one will be out at the end of December, and then the third and final at the end of January. You can find everything at www.scotthaskin.com.
Perfect. And John Mariano, what do you got going on?
My goal is that nobody finds me ever. So, I mean, you'll find me on Twitter, if it is still around, at John Mariano NY on Twitter. I tweet usually about podcasts or, you know, thoughts that hit my head sometimes, but that's about it.
Well, you know what you haven't done is that's give some love to the sponsor of the show. Why don't you tell us about Pop Rockin' Radio, John?
Oh, you want me to do that right now at the end of the show?
Yeah,
why don't you let me because do that we forgot the show.
I forgot.
People probably stop listening at this point, Corey.
Oh gosh, no, no, they're glued to their podcast player right now as we speak, waiting for you to give the copy on our sponsor, Pop Rockin' Radio. Here it comes.
Right now.
Yep.
I don't got it.
All right, this is Ken Knapsack's Pop Rockin' Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop Rockin' Radio community.
You know, one thing I can say about the Pop Rockin' Radio? Ken poured out a couple of days ago one called The Slow Stuff, which is more... love, lust, and things of this ilk, that it fits. So if you have a hot and heavy night ahead of you, you pop on Pop Rock and Radio and let that be the soundtrack to your night. And if not, he just did a holiday gift giving episode where there's some killer deep cuts on holiday music. If you haven't had enough of that on the radio already, Ken's got you covered, because you didn't have to listen to the same old, same old, same old song. Ken might have found some deep cuts for you.
What's with the juju bees on your ooh bees?
There you go. Get your Ken Knapsack fix at the Pop Rockin' Radio on Mixcloud. John and I are both members of that community. Maybe you'll see us there some night, kicking around the chat room requesting songs. So it's a lot of fun. But on behalf of Scott Haskin and John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. You can find me on this show. You can find me on Backtracks Theme Music with John Mariano, talking everything music and movies. And of course, you can find me on And the Podcast Will Rock, the only Van Halen podcast that's breaking down each track one at a time. But until next time, thank you very much for listening. And as always, we are going to give the final word to Steven Tyler.